The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back, and it's always great to welcome our next guest. He is Gene Tepikoff from the Charleston Post and Courier. And Gene, I don't remember a story as bizarre as the one we were about to talk about. You got a provost of the University of South Carolina leaves last week to go to LSU to become the president. And before he even looks for a house, there's talk about bringing him back because the current president, who has only been there about 2 years, a retired general, former superintendent of the West Point, is accused of plagiarizing, not just some random Russian author, but a retired admiral, and only one of the most famous retired admirals alive, Admiral McRaven, who led the raid on Osama bin Laden. Having said all that, let me say hello to Gene Tepikoff. Gene, thanks so much for being here. It is great to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me on, Paul, and I know you'll be at Kewa Island next week for the PGA Championship at the Ocean Course.
Not if the gas shortage doesn't change.
Okay.
that would be a tough place to have to commute, having been to Kewa a couple of times, just to try to get from one end to the other. I wish all of you well. This is going to be I'm sure you've done it before. Well, let me ask you this. There are a lot of places, there are a lot of commencement speeches you can rip off in the pantheon of the world, but can you explain, when you heard this story for the first time, what you thought?
Honestly, Paul, I thought it was a joke. I didn't think it was serious, because as you said, I mean, not only do you rip off a famous speech that's been made, you're a three-star Army general, and this guy's in the Navy, one of the most famous admirals in the country because of his ties to Osama bin Laden, and in a commencement speech, you plagiarize the guy. But even worse, maybe, Paul, I mean, to a lot of people in Columbia and the suburbs and all over the Palmetto State, is in that same speech, General Bob Caslon, the president of the University of South Carolina, calls the University of South Carolina the University of California.
And
when you're the president at Carolina speaking to Carolina people, you probably want to get that one right.
And Gene, if those two things were the only things that he had done wrong, maybe he would survive. But I mean, if I remember correctly, and I'm sure you do, I mean, this guy just stumbled all over himself on his introductory tour to the state's media, which I'm sure included you.
Yeah, that's really a good point, Paul. And the thing is, I don't usually make it that much of my business to evaluate administrators unless they're in the sports lane, which this guy put himself in a lot. And, I do want to say, and I think it's important to note that, that he is a great military servant, a three-star general in charge at West Point, so many charity boards and all that. He's the kind of guy you'd want in a bar fight for sure. That didn't necessarily mean he was the ideal person to lead a major public university. And so many of his missteps in the 2 years that he was there, like you kind of alluded to there, Paul, did come with sports teams, and they were ridiculous, silly, and bizarre. Like, the minute he got there, he's saying to all the teams, all the Gamecock teams, hey, if you guys beat Clemson, I'm going to throw you an ice cream party. And then he's telling small groups of students, I know how much you guys are hurting for losing to Clemson in football year in and year out. Well, he kept saying that and kept saying that, and regular South Carolina students, believe it or not, actually wanted to hear more stuff about tuition breaks and graduation, schedules and regular financial things and books and stuff like that. And then the most ridiculous thing, Paul, is he's trying to give Will Muschamp, and this is in 2019, not last year, a vote of confidence. And first he says he's definitely going to be my coach till the end of the year. And then he tells a board of editors at the Florence Morning News that, oh, yeah, I told Ray Tanner to consult with Florida State and find out how they went about paying Willie Taggart's buyout. So, Paul, there's votes of confidence, there's the dreaded vote of confidence, and then there's the Bob Catlin vote of confidence.
And he's gone. And I'm not sure. Maybe some feel like we're being unkind to the great retired general. And I'm sure he'll be taken care of well. Three-star generals, I'm assuming, have really good pensions, better than the slovenly sports writers and sportscasters like us. But still, this guy made missteps all over the place. And one more thing. What about Shane Beamer? There's conflicting stories on what impact or influence he had on that hire.
He had a lot of impact, Paul, and it's interesting to note, yeah, that he had the ties to football and a lot more to do with hiring Shane Beamer than most people realize, and that's because Bob Catlin really thought, or really still thinks, that he fixed Army football when he was superintendent up there at West Point with the hiring of Jeff Monken. Remember, they were losing the Navy all the time. And he kind of did, have influence on that hire, and it really did work out. So he had a lot of influence on what Ray Tanner did in bringing in Shane Beamer. And I think Shane, I know you've had him on your show and you've met him and stuff, and he's built up a lot of goodwill, but he doesn't need any more problems here with the kind of schedule he has. And he's just lost his biggest supporter on campus, I would say. And the schedule's really tough, tougher than people think. I mean, that second game, Paul, is at East Carolina. Mike Houston's the coach there. He was the head coach at the Citadel when the Citadel beat South Carolina in 2015. Mm. And, Paul, I've got a trivia question for you. Who was the TV sideline reporter at that game?
Was that Marty Smith?
Let's see.
Let me assure the audience, I know who it was because it was me. And I'm glad you told me Mike Houston's name, because as I was chasing him off the field, I couldn't remember it. And he was none too pleased, because I had taken a shot at him a couple of weeks earlier about something. And even though he just had the biggest win of his career, he was mortified to see me as the sideline reporter. And the reason why I was the sideline reporter, and I'm trying to remember the reason why, because the normal sideline reporter was not available. I was there doing SEC Nation, and they asked me if I could stick around to do the game. And
well, in that role, you're famous at the Citadel now, I'll tell you, because they pretty much credit you for the victory and motivating the cadets. So.
I will say this. I got a note from Harvey Schiller, who you may remember was the former commissioner of the SEC. By the way, he's also a retired Air Force general. And he said, I've watched the whole broadcast, and you were fantastic. And I'm thinking, I forgot, he went to the Citadel. And it was a memorable day. And the funniest part about it, Gene, not to go too much into my one and only sideline reporting duties, was the night before, we had the usual production meeting. And we spent 2 hours talking about how we would fill the time when it became a blowout.
Yeah, well, that didn't work too well for the Gamecocks. And
okay, so let me get to a couple of football questions. You mentioned the schedule. What is your expectation for this first year of the Gamecocks?
Oh, I'm really optimistic. I think they can double their victory total, which would mean 4. Okay. 2-8 last year. I think 4 wins is doable. They have to play Auburn. That was the added game. I think that their running back room is excellent with the guys they have, Marshawn Lloyd and Kevin Harris, and E.J. Jenkins, this guy is coming in as a 6'8" receiver transfer from St. Francis of Pennsylvania. He's going to be quarterback. And wide receiver depth, and they also lost 2 cornerbacks, J.C. Horn and Israel McQuamo, as NFL draft picks. But, yeah, 4 wins, and I think that's realistic for Shane Beamer. And privately, I'm sure he's embracing low expectations.
But you made a really good point. When you lose your benefactor, it hurts. And let me switch over to Clemson for a second. You may have heard this. I don't know, with all the golf conversation in your backyard next week. But Clemson hosts Georgia in the opening game in Charlotte.
Should be a terrific game. Clemson, I'm going to say Clemson-Oklahoma national championship game this year.
Really?
I know that doesn't involve an SEC team, but Clemson, except for that Georgia game, has a schedule that's softer even than usual, which is something to be said for Clemson. But I like DJ Uiagalelei and Dabo Sweeney and Tony Elliott. Really, really like this freshman running back, Will Shipley. Defensive line should be ridiculous. I don't know if Clemson's going to be, like, great even in that game in Charlotte, but I do think they'll get to the playoff, win or lose that game, and that schedule will just allow Dabo and company to bring the younger guys along.
Been too long. Gene, I know you're looking for it. What do you think about next week before you go? This golf course, Kiowa, I have not played it. I've walked it. I've walked past it many, many times. I don't know how you play that course in high wind.
Yeah, it's really weird, Paul. Rory McIlroy had been in such a slump, and then he wins in Charlotte at the Wells Fargo, and he's the guy who won in 2012 at the PGA Championship at Kiowa. So, I mean, talking to a lot of people this week, I just really think he or Jordan Spieth might be the people to look for. DeChambeau just hits the ball too high in the air for that kind of wind right off the ocean there. I can't believe we're talking about PGA Tour golf here on this show, Paul.
I'm really intrigued, and you know, of course, you can see the first 2 days on ESPN, which is the main reason we're talking about it.
Yeah, and actually talked to Andy North and Curtis Strange and some of the guys yesterday, and boy, are they excited! And a lot of really cool technical things that ESPN's going to be unveiling for that coverage, including the drone stuff. And you know from being out there, that course looks as good as just about anything except maybe Pebble Beach on TV from the air.
No, it's fabulous. Gene, enjoy it. We will talk to you soon as we get ready for the college football season. It's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Great stuff. Gene Sapochnik joining us, and we will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A busy, busy show. More on the Pac-12 naming a new commissioner. There's still a lot of react here on what Booger McFarland had to say about Tim Tebow. We are coming back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back. A lot of reaction to what Tebow said earlier. Also some really encouraging news, and there was already it was already out there for all sporting events, that the CDC today, in case you're just getting in your car, has lifted the mask mandate for both outdoors and indoors for fully vaccinated people. And this is setting off a bull market on optimism in terms of what the sports world is going to look like. It was already encouraging, but this really is the last thing to fall Fauci just said that he is fully supportive of schools open full blast. There was still a little bit of concern because of what the fall would look like. There is almost no concern right now, so that is really encouraging to many who were looking forward to the rest of the summer and the fall. 855-242-7285. That is our number. We'll get back to the Tebow situation in a few minutes. I know we've been diverting. You can give us a ring now, and we are taking phone calls. And Pat is up next in Texas. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul, how are you? It's been a while since we talked.
Well, great to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I really enjoy your show. However, I generally watch you on the SEC channel, and they're having a softball tournament on that channel this week.
Yeah, we will. So we'll be back on there tomorrow. We'll be back on television tomorrow. This was a planned event, and I hope the women are having a good tournament in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, I hope so. But I have really, really missed you. So anyway, it's good to talk to you. I just wanted to mention that, I think that Bear Bryant was probably the best coach of his time, and Nick Saban's probably the best coach of his time. I really don't think you can compare, Bear Bryant's time with Nick Saban's time. What do you think? Because the game is different.
I think it's totally different. I think they're completely different eras. I am certainly no expert on the Bryant era. I did cover the last 2 years. That's how long I've been doing this. I think Bryant was a seminal figure in his era. He was innovative. Remember, he went to the wishbone, and ultimately, I think he would have had to get out of it. Saban is similar in the sense that he was a defensive coach who ended up having the best offense in school history last year.
Right. Well, I also wanted
but
to
I don't,
say
I don't,
that
I mean, there's such different eras where Bryant's championships were subjective. They were dependent on somebody's opinion. Some of it was biased occasionally, especially in the 60s. Bear Bryant lost a national championship in 1966 because of the slow move toward desegregation. Where that's not really a fortunately that's no longer an issue. But now we determine championships by a committee.
Right. Well, thanks a lot, Paul, and I'll be looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. I wanted to say that I am a big, big Tim Tebow fan.
Well, thank you for saying that. Appreciate it very much. So let's continue with more phone calls, and Myers is up next. Hey, Myers, good afternoon.
Oh, thanks, Paul, for taking my call, and you're doing a great job. The one thing I want to ring in on, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the Tim Tebow, over the past, I've been a football, college football and professional up until lately, but college football for sure. I just think Tim plays offense a lot more like a linebacker than he does a quarterback. And I think carrying into the tight end of it, you can go back like Mike Ditka when he played, and modern day Dunkowski. They'd rather run over you than around you. And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I think he's got a. I mean, I'm not a former pro football player like Booger McFarland, but I see it differently. I think he can manage the position. I don't think it's that difficult. It's not like trying to play defensive back. It's not like playing quarterback. To me, it's I don't mean this to diminish the position, but it's not the most important position on a football team.
No, but some of the greats have had that. I just feel like he's got that aggressive nature that you don't normally see from an offensive guy. He's got that, and when I played ball, I played with some of the most passive, compassionate guys, which I picture from the way you talk. I don't know the man. I picture the way you talk, that's the way he is until he steps over that white line and straps up.
No, he is. And I think that's what made him so unique as a player. You know, Tim Tebow is 100% on everything. And I know that sounds almost cliche, but I've never seen anyone who has the passion for what he does like him. And I know that there are plenty of people out there who have great passion for what they do every day. They just display it in a
Absolutely.
Different way. I have a lot of passion for what I do here, but I'm not as extroverted as Tim Tebow is. I can't communicate in the way that he does. He is unique in that regard, and I've never seen anyone in his league.
Well, that was the mentality. The look that I get from him when I watched him play so many games when he was at Florida, and even at Denver, and I was a big fan of Denver, especially when John Elway
played. His approach is very basic too. It deals with heart and passion and faith. It's not a complicated approach, and I've seen him interact with people from all walks of life, and he has a gift. And I mean, think about all the people that you know or have met, who is that person who has had that impact or effect on you? And I think you probably have to look to ministers to a degree, because they are unique in what they do. Football coaches can be unique, but most people don't have that it like he does.
Right, right. But I just wanted to get your take on that, and I appreciate
I'm glad you did.
You
hey, thank you for calling.
Speak with me and. Your show is great, and I listen to it every day.
Okay, we will see you tomorrow. Thanks so much. Lee is in New York. Hey, Lee.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Good afternoon.
I heard you talking about the PGA Championship and who you thought might win, but I'm going to tell you right now, if I had to bet money, I'd bet on Tommy Fleetwood to win it this year.
Really? Why?
The course sets up to Tommy Fleetwood's game. He's not a long ball hitter, but he's very accurate. He hits the ball low, so in the high winds, it's going to be very difficult for anybody else to be better than him, in my opinion, because of that reason. Just the way that his game sets up, it sets up perfectly for this course. I think even better than George Spieth or Rory McIlroy.
That's a good point, and that's why I've always really liked the British Open, because you're having to play in all kinds of different conditions. But people will be amused and entranced by what they see next week, because the wind is not always high. But I've walked around Kiowa in the afternoon, and beside being a beautiful place, I mean the wind. I remember, I don't know if you how far back you go in golf, but I'm trying to remember what year it was. The early '90s, they had the Ryder Cup there, and.
Yep.
It was down to the final day, and I mean, it was an American who was, I think it was a 17th hole, it's a par three. I mean, this guy, he had a shot, and I mean, he didn't even make it halfway over the water because the wind was so bad.
Yep, that's the thing. At Kiowa, the wind, it's not just that it's strong, it's so unpredictable and will change direction at a moment's notice. Also,
right.
That's the problem there. And that's why I think, once again, because of the way that Tommy Fleetwood strikes the ball, and because of his trajectory, I think he's got the best chance out of anybody.
Well, that's an interesting pick. He's a great player. Hey, thanks for the call. We are going to take a break. We have more time, plenty of time, 90 minutes remaining. We'll talk a little bit about the Pac-12's decision. It's not so much that they hired a commissioner. That's not really that interesting. It's the fact that what he said. He is all in on the playoff, and so is the new commissioner of the ACC. What we've talked about with skepticism seems to be coming to fruition, that this playoff may be here sooner than we originally thought. More on that. We'll talk about the sports business angle of what we do here, a little bit more from Booger later on, we'll come back with more guests right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back, and it's always great to welcome to the show Rick Harrow, our sports business guru. And Rick, thanks for being here. And I have to ask you, I know you live in Florida. Have you obtained your Jaguars season ticket so you can watch the new tight end, Tim Tebow?
I'm ready to get the refund because I thought Tim Tebow was a quarterback. No. I thought he was a cleanup hitter. I guess he's a tight end. Maybe he and Urban will go on a familiarization tour. But I will tell you about tickets. I'm sure this whole move is monetizing hope for the Jacksonville Jaguars. This is going to sell a very significant number of tickets. Maybe they'll get to remove that tarp off the upper deck.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that because Booger McFarland was here earlier and he cracked back at that. But you understand the business side of it. I mean, how bad has business been for the Jaguars lately?
Well, it's lack of performance, but, you know, obviously you can correct that. And it's also the territory that the Jaguars operate in. You know, you go east, it's Atlantic Ocean. You go north, it's rural, but then Falcons territory. You go west, it's way rural, and then Tallahassee. You go a little bit south, it's Buccaneers and Dolphins. And it's always been a small market. And, Wayne Weaver did a pretty good job with the Jaguars, some early success, some championships, but not consistent success. And, Shad Khan, the owner of the team, is playing at least one game a year in London. He's an international businessman, and nobody's said it, but they've got to protect their investment and their asset in Jacksonville. One of the ways to do it is to make sure you go crazy. You draft a guy who may be the best quarterback prospect ever, or at least for a while, and then you have a guy who is a hometown hero coming back to play tight end. Now, who knows if he's going to make the roster, but it's sure significant buzz now.
So one more thing on that, because, for the purist, it's hard to imagine that the NFL would make a business decision as opposed to getting the best player. But this is a terrible franchise. You mentioned the money. And are you suggesting if it's a close call on whether he makes it or not, he does?
What I'm suggesting is that Urban Meyer is under pressure long-term to perform. If it's a close call, there are intangibles, and you know what that means, so the answer is maybe yes. If it is not a close call, Urban Meyer is not going to jeopardize the quality of his team by keeping somebody on the roster that will not increase his chances of winning. I'm pretty sure of that. But, your question, close call, it'll be very interesting.
And let me get to the other side of it. It's not just about Khan making money. There is a Tebow factor that involves other things, such as jerseys and who knows what else. How important is that?
Well, it's a relatively small number as far as the overall revenue of the team when you consider television and ticket sales. That's over 85%. Merchandise, however, is very important to branding. Branding is very important to the overall quality of the team. So if the team gains its rightful place at the center of what is called the First Coast over there, so the ticket increases may come quicker. The skybox increase number may come quicker. The whole evaluation of the contiguous retail development that President Mark Lamping has been trying to put together may come quicker. So a little bit of it is intangible, but do not minimize it.
Talking to Rick Harb. Rick, the big topic in college athletics overall has been the name, image, and likeness. It's not the first time we've talked about it, but it's getting close. And now you have the president of the NCAA, Mark Emmert, pretty much saying we got to figure out how to have it. I'm not sure why it took him so long, but what's your view on that, and what are we about to encounter here over the next few weeks?
Mark Emmert said we pretty much got to have it two Decembers ago, remember? He had a press release. we all said at the time the devil was in the details. Big Power Five leadership, not an easy issue, getting together and trying to figure out what the template is. You've got a number of pressures. Alston versus NCAA will take it to the Supreme Court level. They're hearing arguments. They will rule. You can look at the ruling as a guidepost, not a detailed map of what actually to do. But look at the issues. You got Power Five versus everybody. You got men's versus women's. You got Division One versus other divisions. You got the big schools in the Power Fives versus the other ones. You got the whole premise of making sure you don't use this as a recruiting device. Wouldn't this be terrible if, because of NIL, people can go to the schools not just because they're a great brand, but that you're going to be offered more money as a consequence of the endorsements that you get? I don't think anybody wants to create that situation, but you can be conceptual all you want, Paul. The question is, when did the details come? And it's been a year and a half, so the details are going to come soon.
And Rick, on the Alston case, you understand this stuff a little bit better than most of us. What are the most likely rulings from the court?
Most likely ruling, I believe, is that the issue of student-athletes does not preclude the athlete from getting significant endorsement dollars. The question of who and how, I don't think the Supreme Court will be in the business of regulating exactly what the process will be. So, you know, I'm not going to predict the Supreme Court rulings. If I did, I would have more real estate and I would have better stocks and the whole thing. But the bottom line is that the court will kind of make a conceptual framework ruling, kind of like what they did in gambling 2 years ago, May of 17. You remember what they did in 18? They said that states that wanted to do it are not prohibited by the current federal regulations to do that. You do what you want. You figure out how to do it. You figure out where to do it. And if there's something that doesn't work, then you can come back here and we'll tell you it doesn't work. But I think that's going to be kind of the presumption and the framework of the Supreme Court on this.
Well done. Oh, as always, Rick Carl, thank you so much, Rick. See you soon.
All right, man. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Rick Carl joining us. We are back after this. More of your phone calls in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We welcome you back. We still have an hour and change to go, and let's get back to the calls. And I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul. How's
hey there, I-Man. Good afternoon.
You know, back in 65-66, the Beatles were on tour of the United States, and, you know, they were supposed to play Birmingham, Montgomery, and Jacksonville, Florida.
Didn't know that.
The same people that, yeah, they... They did not play Alabama because of all the issues going on within the state. They refused to play to segregated audiences. And the people that hired them at Florida actually hired them to play Birmingham and Montgomery. And that would have just been killer to have the Beatles, you know, play where we could have seen them. Maybe you and I would have been too young, but our older relatives could have seen them, and that
I
would
believe,
have been fantastic.
No, I'm pretty sure as a the Beatles were played Memphis when I lived there.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken,
yeah, because I was too young to, you know, I mean, it's not, I mean, I think it was 9 or 10 years old, and
something like that. Yeah, we were kids.
And but I know they did play, and it's one of those things that you clearly regret, but what can you do?
Yeah, and you know, and you mentioned something a while ago, and I've been listening to this program a long time, and I actually met the man that hired the Beatles to play Birmingham and Montgomery, Cyril
really?
Brennan, and yeah, did some work at his house, and he owned a WBAM and WBOK, and they all, you know, they were all sister stations, and the shows in Birmingham, you remember the Shower of Stars or whatever they called them?
Oh, sure.
And they had the same thing in Montgomery with the Big Bam shows every summer, spring, winter, and fall. And he was just a fascinating gentleman to talk to. But you mentioned something a little while ago that I've never heard in my life. I've heard a lot of things. I've heard a lot of excuses. But you said that Alabama did not get the championship in 66 because they weren't segregated? I mean,
no, I said because it was issues. There were writers from around the country that would not vote for Alabama because of that, including a very famous writer in Los Angeles, Jim Murray, who wrote an article excoriating Alabama for that and said that people should not vote for them.
I've never heard that before. I've never heard that till today. And I just thought that was kind of interesting that
I'm surprised you haven't, because Keith Donovan wrote a book about that called The Missing Ring. Mm-hmm. And
I've heard a lot of people say different things, you know, but I've never heard the racial context put to it like that. And even on your show, and he's been on your show several times.
Yeah, part of the problem that year was that famous game at the end between Notre Dame and Michigan State. But Jim Murray with the LA Times, he referred to Alabama, he said they won the Magnolia Championship as a slur against the fact that the school was not desegregated. He was very tough on them. The thought process was that really did have an impact on many writers.
Well, and you know, it was about 1970-71. Neil Young wrote the song Alabama. You got a wheel, your Cadillac's got a wheel in the ditch and one on the track. And I mean,
from
you
the
know,
great record Harvest.
Harvest.
One of my favorite Neil Youngs of all time.
It
Not that song,
too.
But that record.
You know, the song A Man Needs a Mate.
Yeah,
I never quite understood that song, and I, you know, there's women that would hear it, and they were kind of upset that he would say a man needs a maid. But then I read the story behind that, and it was quite interesting.
See the Lonely, another song. See the Lonely Boy Out on the Weekend.
Out on the Weekend. Are you know, that was Neil Young was just when I listen to songwriters and listen to the words, I don't feel like they wrote a song for me, but some things are timeless. And I tell you, Neil Young is just one of those timeless writers. And the song that sold me on Neil Young was Mr. Soul.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they were Buffalo
Springfield. That was with
the
Buffalo Springfield, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And there was something about Stephen Stills and Neil Young that just captivated me. And you know what? It proved out to be a good captivation because I listened to their music all these years. Stephen Stills has got some of the best albums out there that you've probably
Hey, do you remember, speaking of Stephen Stills, do you remember a guy we used to have on the show all the time in the old days, a guy named Al Lapeer? He was a Democratic Party operative, and we used to have him and a Republican guy on the old show.
Right, I remember the name.
I'll let Al tell the story. He told me a story. Whether it was for Walter Mondale or who knows who, but Stephen Stills came to Birmingham to do a concert for the Democratic Party, and he stayed at Al's house. And I'll be careful what I say because the statute of limitations in Alabama may not be up, but I can assure you, Stephen left nothing on the table.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And you know, he's always been kind of thought of as a little bit squirrely when you actually sitting and talking and listening to him talk. Not that I've talked to him personally, but
no.
I haven't.
And didn't he always wear like football jerseys on stage?
Yeah, or hockey jerseys or something. There was always some kind of a jersey. But I mean, he's got some tremendous songs. And where the insight of a Neil Young and a Stephen Stills comes from at such early ages back in the...
Yeah, I mean, they wrote 60s. This stuff. Hey, I mean, great conversation. We're up against a break. We're coming right back.
Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.